Okay, if you'll look in Genesis chapter 1, our study tonight is on the days of creation. Are they 24-hour days? You see that it says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 5, "And there was evening and there was morning one day." Verse 8, "There was evening and there was morning a second day." And it goes throughout the 6 days. And then, verse 2 of chapter 2, "The seventh day God completed his work." So the way it's presented in Genesis 1 and 2 is that creation was completed in 6 days, and God rested from his work of creation on the seventh day. Are these days as we know them, or could they be ages, long periods of time? There are those who say they believe in God and they believe in the Bible, but they hold that these days are not days as we think about them, solar days, but rather long periods of time that would allow for the theory of evolution. And so that's what we're looking at in our study. Is that a possible position by those who believe the Bible to be the Word of God, and does it have any consequences? Is it important what we believe about this particular topic? Lest we make the mistake of saying, well, a day is a day, it just, that's the way it is, I know what a day is. We've got to be aware of the fact that the word day is used in different ways in the Bible. Look in John chapter 11 and verse 9. Read that verse and tell me how the word day, what time span is in view in John 11, verse 9. Twelve hours. So here the word day does not refer to a 24-hour day, but to a portion of a solar day. The 12 hours in which men might work, which there's light to work. Okay, now look at Genesis chapter 17 and verse 12. Every male among you who is 8 days old should be circumcised throughout your generation. Very clear here, he's talking about 8 solar days, 8 days as we think about them, days as the word is normally used, 8 days old. Okay, then a third passage is Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4. Where you read in chapter 1 about 6 days of creation, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, "This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day the Lord made earth and heaven." So here it's referring obviously to a period of time. And that usage that you saw there, day referring to a period of time, is a frequent use in the Bible. So that's not just an unusual use, although most of the uses refer to a day as we normally talk about a day. So there's the situation before us. When we read in Genesis 1 and verse 5 and verse 8, verse 13, etc., about the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, are these solar days, or are they periods of time? Could be long ages of time. Well, we might ask the question, first of all, what difference does it make? Is it important to us to even spend any time on this question? You have your questions here. If you'll turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, We ask you the question on your sheet, if the days are thousands of years, by the time you get to day six, the creation of the man, it says in Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them," you see in verse 27, that includes the male and the female, created in the image of God. So, if there had been thousands of years, let's say each day was 10,000 years, so there had been 50,000 years before this. How does that impact this statement you read about man? Nothing? If there had been 50,000 years before this, were these the first two individuals on the earth? Obviously not. If evolution is true, man was the product of a long period of development. And so the idea that there were no what we call human beings, men and women, and then God on the sixth day made two people in his image is something that we'd have to readjust our thinking about. In fact, if they were simply a result of a long product of evolution, what about the beings that preceded them by 500 years? Would they be made in God's image? What about the beings that preceded them by 1,000 years? Would they be made in God's image? What about the beings that preceded them by 20,000 years? Were they partially in God's image? The way that this is presented is there are no human beings. And on the sixth day, God made two things, a man and a woman. They were unique, different from anything else he had made, including all of the animal kingdom, because it says they are made in his image. When in chapter 2, when Moses zooms in on this picture, and in verse 7, take the woman out of the picture now for a moment, and he says, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Very simple statement of the beginning of man's existence and life upon this earth. But did he have life before day six, if all of those days were thousands of years? Was this the first time man lived? Certainly not. And so this impacts your view of man and who he is. Why is our view of man and who he is so important anyway? What difference does it make if he's the product of evolution or whether or not God made him in a day in his image? What difference does that make from a practical standpoint? Theory of humanism, explain.
Well, if we're like animals, then we're going to be able to seek out what we want, our own desires.
Okay. David says in humanism, you can seek what you want, not your own desires. The idea that you're not accountable to a creator. There's a verse in the Bible that's very, very fundamental and very important, more than one, that talks about why this concept is so important. Why you don't kill men. Genesis 9. The reason given is he's made in the image of God. That's the reason given. That murder is wrong. And particularly in that passage, killing men to use them as food. But that's why. In James, in chapter 3, when he talks about how we talk to men and about men, he talks about people cursing men who are made in the likeness of God. And there again, he appeals to this idea. And so there's a certain esteem that belongs to humans because they're made in the image of God. People have lost that in our society. You might get in trouble quicker and more for injuring an animal or killing an animal than you would a human being. It's coming to where there's more laws to protect animals than there are humans. Why? People have lost this distinction. This is critical. And so the idea of a instantaneous creation on day six of man, instead of him being the product of natural forces over thousands of years, is a fundamental concept. What is the second greatest commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. But why not love a dog as yourself? I mean, a dog, people like dogs. They're called man's best friend. They save people's lives. They give people companionship. I say, I like dogs better than I like you. So, is it all subjective? Just what you like the best? Is it something you put up for a vote in society or leave to the government? Yes, Betty. Evening and morning one day. We're going to talk about that, and that's a good observation. But again, they're going to say that evening and morning, referring to long periods of time. I agree with you. It seems pretty clear, doesn't it? But again, be aware of the fact that there are men who are sometimes preachers in churches of Christ who teach that the days of creation are long, long ages, and therefore allows for what's called theistic evolution. That is, God got the thing rolling, but it took thousands and thousands of years of development to reach the point that we see today. Yes, Sally?
From a logical point of view, if this does not mean a 24-hour day, at what point did it change from being a multi-year day to a 24-hour day?
If I was on the other side of the coin, I would simply say this, Sally. Aren't you aware the word day is used in different ways in the Bible?
It does, but it never uses
so it. So can it be possible that it's used in chapter 2, verse 4, is it a 24-hour day?
It is never used as a multi-year day. In hours, yes, it changes hours, but it never uses the...
Is chapter 2, 4 specified how many years or days or does it just say a period of time? I can show you numerous verses that talk about the day of trouble or the day of distress or the day of God's wrath. And when it talks about the day of God's wrath, it may involve a number of years. And so, if I'm on the other side of the coin, I'm going to point out, and I've got some of them listed, verses where the word day is used in a far more expansive sense than solar day.
Is day 7 viewed as the same as the first 6 days as a multi-age day, or is it viewed as in this concept?
Do what now?
Is day 7, when God rested, viewed as a multi-year day to the people who believe that, as much as days 1 through 6 are?
Some do. We'll deal with that in our second lesson on questions. Yes, some do.
So I guess that doesn't
match up with the Some say that God, that seventh day has not ended. Yes, ma'am.
Well, 2 to 4 sounds more like if you were going to say in the days of Kennedy or in the days of something, in the days that God created Earth. You know, that's the way that's used.
That's the way it's used, but it's not talking about a solar day.
No.
But it's the same word. So I'm saying that you've got to look at, you can't just arbitrarily assign a meaning. You say, well, day just means solar day. No, it doesn't always mean a solar day. Suppose I argue John 11 uses the word day in 12 hours. So So these 6 days are six periods of 12 hours.
12 hours of day, though, and then so many hours of night.
But the day included evening and morning in Genesis 1.
Yeah,
the day of John 11 included what? Just daylight period, working period. We cannot be arbitrary on the word day. We've got to let something in the context or something about Bible harmony, some other passage that makes it clear how the word is used to bear on that. So it does impact view of man in this particular setting. That's why it's so very important. All right, look at Matthew chapter 19. Yes. Go ahead, sir.
Verse 26, I would assume that theistic evolutionists would take verse 26 and say, I think, use man there to be mankind. Let's make mankind our image to be over a long period of time. Not trying to be specific as to a single day or single point in time, but just, yeah, he did that. He put it in motion. Make mankind, and the product of that effort, that part of being God, the product of that effort would be mankind as we know today.
Okay.
And being able to in his image.
I'm not sure what they would say. That may be it. If you didn't hear, Wally said maybe a theistic evolutionist would argue that God made man, mankind in his image. What is in verse 27? Is it mankind and womankind? Male and female. And lest we're in doubt, is there a commentary somewhere we can go to know whether he's talking about a man and a woman?
Matthew 19.
Okay, Matthew 19 is a good one, but you don't even have to go that far. How about the next chapter?
Yeah.
Chapter 2. So if there's any doubt, go to chapter 2, go to Matthew 19. Those are excellent places to go.
Being it's actually a question of different about the text. This going back to the evening, the morning evening idea. If take day, you can show day or use different ways in the Bible. Right?
Right. Day can be used different ways in the Bible, correct? What we're going to look at is that when you have evening and morning put together to define a day, it was very clear what it was talking about.
Right.
So when you put those two together in uniform usage, not only in Moses' writings, but in others, you got five books written by Moses, so you say, well, let's see what he meant when he put evening and morning together. Now, that may not be your question.
If you're taking the position that day is a long period of time, can be a long period of time, and the only way you can be consistent about that is to say morning and evening are also long periods of time, my only point would be, okay, you can go find other places day are used in some way other than a solar day. Where do we ever find morning and evening?
That's an excellent point. Let me restate that for the record. Wally said, even if you can show that the word day has these different meanings, where is the phrase morning and evening ever used other than of a period that we know of as a solar day? We can show the word day has different significances, but what about that phrase? That's an excellent point that he made. And the word day is defined by that phrase, and we'll look more about that in just a second. All right, let's look at Matthew 19.
Began to rule, you know,
God said he will rule over the fish and the beast.
I don't know what they would say, Linda. I haven't studied the theistic evolutionist position. I can guess that they would say that is a product of evolution. That's what happened. Man, because of his superior intelligence, came to reach a point to where he could kill the fish and the bear and so forth and eat them. And he could develop methods for doing that, but the fish and the bear and the dog never developed that. I don't know if that's what they'd say. But again, it would be in this long process. Main thing I want you to see, why is it important that we even look at this? Because of our concepts of who we are. And brethren, this is basic. We need to teach our children, why is man unique? And it is not because he walks on two legs. It's not it. It's because he's made in the image of God. That is a fundamental concept. And that's why you love your neighbor, not because you like him. Because of who he is. All right. Look at Matthew 19. Linda referred to that already. Excellent observation. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4. The people asked Jesus, is it lawful to divorce? He went back to the book of Genesis. Have you not read? He expects people to read the book of Genesis. And it has some fundamental concepts that govern human thinking and decisions. And so he said, have you not read that he created them from the beginning, made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they're no longer two, but one flesh. Number of very positive statements here made about creation. One, it says that it was the beginning when man and woman were created. If those years, those days or thousands of years, was it the beginning? No. It might have been 500,000 years after the beginning. Furthermore, he says he made them male and female. If evolution is true, did the male and female develop at the same time through these years, or did one develop and the other develop out of that? In the picture Jesus is presenting, there's a male and a female at the beginning. And how many of those did he say? Two. And then he goes on to talk about the fact that God instituted a relationship between these two in the beginning that was to last a lifetime. A relationship that would be over the relationship of parents even. And so a relationship that would supersede who you came from. And that's in the beginning. So, what's the concept of marriage? It's just something that just happened over years, and this is what happened. Men just wanted women, and somehow or another a woman evolved to meet that need, and then they kind of got together and thought about living together. Well, if that's all it is, why can't I go find another woman? Except for the fact my wife would shoot me. Why can't a woman go find another man? Why not? Why do they have to stay with one? The concept of marriage is rooted in what you're reading about in Genesis 1 and 2. At least Jesus says it is. I didn't. Jesus did. When they're asking questions about divorce, he said, go read Genesis. Here's what happened in the beginning. Here's what God did in the beginning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, what is said here that is impacted by the concept of long days, long ages of creation, by adaptive processes or whatever, versus what you read in Genesis 2 happening in one day? What does he say in verse 8 and 9 about the relationship of man and woman? Okay, he said, man does not what? Man doesn't come from woman. Man does not, this version says, originate from woman. Literally, it's not from woman, but woman from man. Now, what's the second thing he said in verse 9?
Woman was created for man's sake.
Woman was created for man's sake. Didn't just happen. That's the story you have in Genesis 2. You had the man, he was alone. God said, I'll make him a helper. And so the concept of the relationship man and woman is impacted by how we view Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. All right, look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 13. What do you read here about the man and the woman? Adam was first created, then. Not alongside of. Adam was first created, then Eve. And so here you have, in Matthew 19, Jesus, a Jew. Here's how he interpreted and applied Genesis. Whether you think he's the Son of God or not, that's how he did it. And what's interesting, what was his audience in Matthew 19? It was Jew, but a special group of Jews. Pharisees. What were they known for?
Knowing the law.
And if Jesus had been misusing the law, they'd have called him on it, wouldn't they? And now in 1 Corinthians and in 1 Timothy, here you have Paul, the writer. Where was he educated?
Among the Pharisees.
The feet of Gamaliel, a renowned Jewish teacher, wasn't he? And here's how he views Genesis chapter 2. So, obviously, if you believe Jesus is the Son of God, you believe Paul is inspired by the Holy Spirit, that settles the question. But even if you don't, here are the views that were held in the first century by those who esteemed the book of Genesis. And you can see how it impacts the view of marriage. Yes, sir. I agree with you. I don't know, again, what the theistic evolutionists would say unless man in his long period of development was unhappy and needed something, and then this woman began to develop or something. I don't know. Maybe she crawled out of the sea or something. I don't know. But anyway, but I don't know what they'd say. That's a good question. Okay. I guess if a woman was telling it, the man crawled out of the sea and she fell down out of heaven. All right, maybe that depends on who's telling the story. But anyway, okay. Our next question. Look at Romans 5. Do you think that you could go to a Church of Christ and sit in a Bible class where somebody taught that the days of creation were ages? I assure you, you could end up there accidentally. I could tell you about a church right now. I won't do it. Well, one of the teachers, a respected teacher, believes that. I was told. And some years ago, young people were going to a college that was esteemed for its orthodoxy, or some of the professors were teaching it. So, you and I need to be informed. All right, so here's Romans chapter 5, verse 12 and verse 15. Just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin. Verse 15. The free gift is not like the transgression, for if by the transgression of the one the many died. What does this passage say about death, physical death, or spiritual death? However you want to take the passage. It's actually talking about spiritual death. One man introduced sin into the world. One man. You mean after 500,000 years, sin hadn't been introduced, nobody had disobeyed God, and boom, Adam was the first one? Can you believe that? Through one man, this infectious disease was introduced into the world. We have this disease that's really bothering society now, Ebola. One man traveled over on an airplane in panic, concern, because of the danger of its spread. What if the people didn't know how dangerous it was and nothing was done to prevent it? What would have happened? And when sin entered the world, that's what happened. And in 1,650 years approximately, the whole world was contaminated. And so that's the picture that's being presented. And it's just as sure one man introduced spiritual death, one man introduced the ability to make those dead people live. And that's Jesus Christ. And that's what he's talking about in Romans chapter 5.
Sin didn't enter by one man. It's the argument about the impact of Christ falls by the wayside.
All right, Wally simply said if sin did not enter by one man, it undermined Paul's whole argument where he puts on the other side through one man, Christ, the remedy was provided. Maybe Christ was just a manifestation of a whole group of saviors. Okay, that's a good point. Christ didn't die for the animal kingdom. He died for humans, made in the image of God. Good point that Linda made. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15:22. On your lesson, we have number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. What's different about this passage in Romans 5? This passage also talks about through one man death entered the world. What's the difference? This is bodily death, physical death. And so if these were long ages, this isn't so. Death was known for years and years and years and years. And so this whole point that Paul makes, as in Adam all die, so also in Christ will all be made alive. Again, it undermines what he's saying. And then in Genesis chapter 3 in verse 15, we move past the actual days of creation, but early on in Genesis, we see this man and woman sinning, and we have the first promise of redemption. Of a redeemer. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you will bruise him on the heel. So your seed will render a deathly blow, whereas as the serpent will continue to be a problem with man, but the woman's seed would render a deathly blow. And that, of course, fulfilled in Christ. Finally, look at Psalm 19. Psalm 19. If the Genesis 6 days of creation were just long periods of time that evolved, God just kind of put them in the process, and everything reached its present order and beauty by natural means, how does that impact what's said right here in the first four verses of Psalm 19? Very different. What does it take away from? What does it undermine? Huh?
The passage seems to me that magnify and exalt God for what he did.
That's right. It undermines that, didn't it? It's not a matter of God made this universe with its order and put everything in its place and put the seed in the plants and had the wisdom to do all of that and make all of the different kind of animals and provide them with the bodily organs to do what they do and provide insects to pollinate the plants. No, this is just something that happened in, over time. But you hear, see in Psalm 19, the heavens are telling the glory of God and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. It's a universal language that there is a creator. If you drive through a housing subdivision, a new housing subdivision, and there are houses going up, you don't know anything about that subdivision. There's one thing you know. They didn't happen by chance. There was a builder. There was a designer. Hebrews chapter 3, 4 says that very thing. And so just like that, you know, when you look at the sun and its distance from the earth and its temperature and the moon and its distance from the earth controlling the tides and our little bitty solar system and our galaxy is nothing compared to the entire universe. You just stand back and stand amazed at the majesty and the power and the wisdom of this being. Look at Psalm 33, verse 6. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deeps in storehouses. So what? Verse 8. That's why this is so important. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. That lesson is laid down in Genesis 1. We better fear God when he speaks, it happens. So when he speaks about heaven and hell and who we are and about our soul and about sin, we better listen. And so you stand in amazement of this God that has such power when he speaks. In Psalm 148, verse 1 beginning, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the highest. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host. Praise him, sun and moon. How can the sun and moon praise God? By their very existence and order. That's right, by the laws that govern them. Praise him, all stars of light. Praise him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For why? He commanded, and they were created. That's why. You're taken back again to Genesis. So you can see that the Jewish writers throughout the centuries treated Genesis 1 as a 6 days of creation that came to existence by the power of the Word of God. Okay. I want to get to you know that we've been talking about the theory of evolution and how that, of course, is so contrary to that. But I wanted to get to this quote. We look at evidences. So all we look at is so what? And so we look at evidence. I got time to at least just look at this one quote. I'm not a Hebrew scholar. But this is a quote, and if you got good eyes, you can read where I got it from on the bottom. If not, you can look at it later. But that quote, kind of quote, I've got several other sources that confirm what's stated right there in that quote. Outside of the Genesis 1 case in question, the 200-plus occurrences of YOM, the word for day, preceded by ordinals, that is by numbers, like one day, one day, two, so forth, 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, preceded by ordinals, all refer to a normal 24-hour day. Furthermore, the 700-plus appearances of Yamin, that's the plural, days, always refer to a regular day. Now that I think is worth looking at. If that's the general way that you find in the Bible, almost universal, you're going to have some reason to say something different here in Genesis 1. That was one day. That was a second day. That was a third day, a fourth day, a fifth day, sixth day, seventh day. So you read their writings and you interpret it not on the basis of our thinking, but of how they spoke in their language and how they used words and phrases. And so that's why I put that on your lesson. All right, we'll pick up. We'll continue to look at the evidences. Our next question here has to do with something you've already brought up about evening and morning. We'll look at that. It's a very powerful thing about whether or not these were 24-hour days or not. The Lord willing, we'll pick that up on Sunday. Okay. Thank you for your good comments tonight.